Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hello again. Thank you for joining us here wherever you stream your podcast. We are the last three guys to do a podcast. Our 10th episode here on the World Wide Web. I'm John Morgo along with
Leon Brown
and
Daniel Bolton.
Daniel is not joining us today, at least not in person. We got him on the phone again. He is still shell-shocked over what happened to his Florida State Seminoles last weekend, getting boat raced by the Clemson Tigers, and we'll talk about that in depth in a few moments. But right now, we just got so much to talk about. We got to get started somewhere along the way. And where we're going to get started right now is with the NBA. A lot of breaking news that came in just as we were coming to the studio here tonight. Leon and I were discussing it. The first coaching casualty of the 2018-19 season has happened. Tyronn Lue out as head man of the Cavs. Cleveland off on an 0-6 start to this young season. Not a surprise, I think. It's just a matter of someone had to lay down. And Daniel, what do you think about this?
Well, guys, I think we saw this one coming. I think it may have came from me rather. I think it came from me sooner than it did later. I thought that they probably would have waited a little bit longer to hold out to see what would have happened with this. But you know, LeBron James just had such a huge effect on anywhere he plays, okay, with the exception of the Miami Heat, because we've seen what Eric Spoelstra can do after LeBron James. So we've seen that happen, and he's still capable of leading the Miami Heat to the playoffs. The Cleveland Cavaliers, on the other hand, seem to struggle a bit. We saw this with Mike Brown. We saw this even with David Blatt. And David Blatt won the championship, or took them to the finals 1 year, rather.
Right.
So Tyronn Lue, this guy, he comes in at midseason, wins the NBA title with them. So it's almost like, with LeBron James leaving, what do you do now? Now you have to show that you can actually coach basketball. And I think that may have exposed Tyronn Lue a little bit. And that's probably what has happened here. Maybe he just doesn't have the right personnel and they're not playing together. I'm not sure if it's the players. I haven't watched too much of Cleveland. Why? Because they don't play Cleveland on TV anymore.
Exactly.
Because the best player in the world is not on TV. So we can't really assess the situation. All we know is by what we've seen from LeBron James and from his departures, like I said, with the exception of the Miami Heat and Eric Spoelstra, he has a very fond effect on coaching decisions. He really does. And we'll see what happens here. Larry Drew is going to take over, who I think is a very good head coach, who actually was down here in Atlanta a couple of years.
Yes,
he's a proven guy. I think he'll step up. He could possibly turn this around. This is the good thing about Cleveland making this move. This, they are doing it, and they have 76 games to go. So let's see what they can do here, if they can get on some sort of a run. 0-6 can be a bit of a hole, but we know it's the NBA. You can be hot at certain points of time, and you can be cold. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
I wanted to stick with the NBA, but we touched on this early in our first show. If you guys remember, we were discussing the potential death of college basketball.
Right.
And according to just about every single major media news outlet known to man, the G League, the USA Today announced on October 18th, are offering 125 large thousands. They're opening the bag to elite high school prospects who wish to skip college and pursue a living in basketball. And with offering $125,000, is this the beginning of the end of the NCAA as we know it?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is maybe blunt the efforts of LaVon Ball's league, the Big Baller League. Is that the league I'm thinking of?
Ball, yeah.
I mean, maybe they're trying to blunt that from taking over. I think college basketball will thrive. I think it will get along, but I think what's going to have to happen is there is going to have to be some way, some sort of avenue for players to be paid. And maybe it's the players can pocket the license fees to use of their likeness in EA Sports. Because that was why those games went away. So maybe open it up, say, okay, we use your likeness, you can get paid for it.
But are they willing to offer 125 large?
Oh, no, no, it's not going to be that much.
And that's what
you have to believe there still is some value in a college education.
Okay, these youngsters. These youngsters that are playing ball, you know, it's been proven according to many, you know, sources that a lot of them aren't capitalizing off their college education anyway. You know, a lot of them, you know, are, you know, they're going to college and they're one and done in the first place. I remember in 2009 when DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, you know, that nice Kentucky team.
Yes.
That lost in the Sweet 16. But I remember Skip Bayless was on record on First Take. And he was like, they're all gone.
Yep.
They're gone.
Yep.
And everybody knew. I think John Wall had a popular dance. He was like he had a popular dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while he was in school. But either or, you know, with, you know, because it's to the point now where the G League is all just offering more money to LeVar Ball. Unless LeVar can get a major investor to go in with him on his league, the G League, which I think has, you know, they have the backing of Gatorade, of course, with the G League, and of course with other major financial outlets, you know, it's just going to be big bang take little bang.
Yeah, I don't think LeVar Ball or the Balls, I don't think they want to go up against the NBA. I don't think any sponsors want to go up against the NBA. So he's going to have a very difficult time getting that off the ground with sponsors being scared to jump in with them, because the NBA big brother, big muscles that they have, just kind of throwing in on their turf, kind of throwing some elbows, throwing some picks. If you want to use a basketball analogy, they're trying to clear the lane. And I think the NBA will do that with the G League if they can get enough people to come on board. Now, the G League does have some use anyway. RJ Hunter, Jeremy Hollowell, they are now with the Hawks G League affiliate up in Erie, which is going to come down to College Park. I think next season, I think, is when that move is going to occur. Those two players, former Georgia State players. So, in the G League does have the use as a kind of a AAA, so players can get still getting their reps, still getting their game time, still getting their points, still getting their practice while they wait for a slot to open with the big schools. But as Leon says, whether or not they can recruit the elite high school talent, I think they'll get some, but will they get enough so that the NCAA product suffers? I just don't think so. Because there is a lot of talent at the college levels, and if there's anything that it might hurt the NAIA or the D3 schools. That's what it might hurt. Because those players who would be forced to a D3 school, now they see that they can get a D2 or a D1 school. So maybe it might hurt that, but I don't think it's going to hurt the Kentuckys, the Dukes, all the big-time college basketball programs that we know, love, or in some cases hate.
I agree 100% with what John just said. I don't think this will be an effect at all, really. Especially towards the NCAA. I mean, the only way I can see it possibly being an effect is if they keep doing if these sanctions keep coming. And of course, the thing about the G League and what they could possibly offer, and it's like you said, Leon, is that you're getting $125,000 coming out of school, right? And of course, the kids are going to look at that, but they still can prove themselves. Like Zion Williamson, listen, we know that this guy's a freak of nature, but what can he do on a college basketball level? You know, it's some guys that they're not ready for that league. They're not ready to jump from one league to the next yet, you know? So, sure, you can have a platform for them, but are they going to be able, let's say they do jump from high school to the G League, are they going to be able to last in the G League, and can they revert back and can they go to college? You know, can they still go to school and still play? Can they be recruited from there? You know how baseball does it. Right. Baseball, you can get drafted out of high school.
Right.
But you have the option to go to school if you want to. And then you can get redrafted again. So, you know, if they do it that way, because that's what the G League, it looks like it's starting to remind me. It's like a farm system of baseball, you know. So that's what it kind of reminds me of. If it goes that way, then I'm fine with that. If it goes some other way, if it goes out of left field, no pun intended, then I don't know. They might have to rethink doing this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be opening Pandora's box for college sports because, say, for example, because what I'm thinking, and I could be wrong, but I don't know, if the G League is going the way of offering these six-figure contracts to these elite ball players that are just going to be one and dones in college anyway, and especially with college basketball trying to cancel the one and dones and make it mandatory that these guys stay for 2 years at least to reap those financial benefits that they could bring to their schools. These young men are looking like, I want to get paid now. I don't, you know, I'm thinking if I'm an elite ball player, if my country can draft me against my will to go play an army, I mean, my bad, to go participate in a war across seas, then who are they to tell me that I can't, if I'm good enough to translate my athletic ability into a stable household for my family and myself, why not? And with this, with you know, is there going to be a salary cap in this G League as far as how much they can offer these kids? And on top of that, is this the last that we're going to see of Zion Williams at Duke? Because who's to say that if someone came to his house with a legal suitcase full of cash? So you got Coach K, right, comes to your house, no money.
Well, no money, obvious. No money overt.
Overt money. No overt money.
But wait a minute. But wait. Let's go back to that point. You said that, what if he comes, you mean like right now, like
Coach
today,
K,
what is Zion Williams?
If Coach K comes to his house or apartment or his house and talks to his parents with no suitcase, right? Talking, yeah, hey, mm-hmm. If you go to Duke University, you know, we can offer, you know, we can give you an excellent chance to get to the NBA. Cause that's what these kids are concerned about. They're not, the education.
That's going to be a problem. I think the NCAA, now you're going to have a problem between the G League and NCAA.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just recruited this guy. You know what I'm saying? I just recruited this guy to come to my school. Or whatever. Baseball, you don't really too much have that problem because there's so many prospects. You know, it's so many prospects. There's so many rounds in the draft and all of this. In fact, I don't even know how many rounds in the MLB draft there is.
It's about 40. It's around 40.
Yeah, I mean,
you could get drafted potentially. You know,
yeah.
Well, look at the story. We've seen a lot of stars. He was a 36 round draft pick because somebody owed Tommy Lasorda a favor.
Exactly. Johnny Manziel was drafted.
Facts.
Russell Wilson was drafted by the Rangers, I believe. So yeah. I mean,
you figure they draft in college and they draft in high school, like Leon was saying. So you figure take how many colleges there are and take how many high schools there are, you've got literally a million places to find a kid from.
Is that going to lessen the competition in the NCAA? For the kids that do play college basketball, will these be, like, you know, the way I'm looking at it is like, okay, the McDonald's All-Americans that we see, will they be going to college, or are they going to take the six figures early? Will they take the six figures now, or are they going to take the six figures?
The majority of them are going to take six figures.
Yeah.
College basketball's in trouble.
Because, that's what society has taught us today, that it's all about the money, right? It's all about the dollars. And if I'm a top prospect coming out of high school, and if let's say one of my children are top prospects coming out of high school, they're going to probably be like, oh, wow, you know, I just got offered $125,000 a year, you know, to do this. That's more money than they've ever seen in their life. Now, the problem that could come out of this is the fact that you're about to hand 18, 19, 20-year-old children all that money.
Yeah, you know, it's like
without
there's no
setting
way
up a team
wrong.
For them and all that. Exactly. The only other guy that I knew, well, only couple of guys that I knew is boasted well for so far, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant,
Kevin Garnett,
those guys. You know, it boasted very well for them.
Moses Malone.
Right.
It's been Trace McGrady.
Yeah, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's possible, but what about all the people who get advised to go in the draft and don't latch on anywhere?
Exactly.
You don't know their names because, well, nothing happened to them.
Like the Darius Miles.
But, you know, we can sit here and talk about this all day, man, but it's a hit or miss. Who would have thought that LeBron James was going to be, you know, considered one of the greatest? You know, but let's go back to the 1984 draft when Sam Bowie was picked over Michael Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody thought that Sam Bowie was going to be the next big thing.
Right.
But he wasn't. It was Michael, and Michael is now considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. So it's a hit or miss with this whole thing, man.
Yeah, you know, it's just like if you go, if we look at the statistics of the amount of PhDs actually get a job in their chosen profession, I mean, a college degree is a lottery ticket.
Yep.
It's not guaranteed that just because one gets a college degree that you're going to get a job in your field, if not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's just
depends. Are you going to school pursuing a major in European poetry, or are you going to school getting a major in economics or marketing?
Exactly, or marketing or business administration or something.
Medicine.
And not general studies.
Exactly.
I mean, how many investors actually invest? I mean, for every investor that invested in Nike and struck it big, there's an investor that invests a lot of money in Pony tennis shoes, if you remember those, and struck out, or British Knights and struck out. You know, it's a gamble. You know, you might invest one. You know, for every Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, or Charles Barkley, there's been Kwame Brown.
Michael Olowokandi.
You know, there's been Hashim the Beat. Who did the New York Knicks draft instead of drafting Steph Curry? Johnny Dunn?
Well, he is Dunn.
You know,
that was just too easy.
Literally.
So, you know, hey, it's a lot of guys, you know. There's somebody that passed on, you remember the Charlotte Hornets passed on Kobe Bryant in exchange for Vlade Divac. So, you know, Steph Curry could have been a Knick.
He could have. I mean, we could do this what if all day
long.
Yeah,
what if, you know, so.
All day long, you know,
but
parallel universes and all that.
But it's going to be interesting it's going to be interesting going forward. I definitely like the fans to give their feedback on this, because this is going to come to speculation to reality pretty soon. Because I'm thinking that the days of Zion Williams playing at Duke is over. I think, in my opinion, I you know, that's my opinion. Only time will tell.
Yeah, exactly. So, Leon, what other news in the NBA's first week have caught your eye?
Well, I'm noticing that the Oklahoma City Thunder have yet to win the game.
Okay.
And in the Western Conference, that's ugly.
Right, because you don't want to be too far behind in that one.
It gets late early.
Right.
In the Western Conference. So, I believe that if Oklahoma City Thunder do not figure it out this week, they might as well, they're not going to be able to jump in. They're not going to be able to jump back into it. They don't figure it out. They have another week to figure it out. If they don't, their season's over. And I know this is they have 78 more games, but we're talking in the Western Conference, where last year it was only three games that separated the number 3 seed from the Denver Nuggets, who were the number 9 seed, who didn't go to the playoffs last year. So the margin for error is so slim in the Western Conference that, you know, it could get ugly for him. It could get ugly real fast. And which then we got to then question Paul George, like, man, Paul, you mean to tell me that you chose to possibly miss the playoffs over playing with LeBron James? Really?
Yep.
I mean, Paul, do we need to have you submit a urine analysis for choosing to stay in OKC? I mean, let's keep it honest here. They can very well run up against Utah in the playoffs if they even make it to the playoffs. And that sounds ridiculous that we were talking like this. But if they even make it to the playoffs and get beat again, it's to the point where, I mean, I'm not a player.
Right.
But it seems that Russell Westbrook, though he is dynamic, does not strike fear into opposing playoff opponents like he used
to. That's because they have film on him now.
And one
thing, you're only as good as what your tape shows you. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So and that's my whole thing with him. Listen, I never thought that the Thunder would be legitimate contenders anyway. So I mean, because I thought that, and it's not because they lost Carmelo Anthony. I thought they were a defensive liability. I think anybody who picks up Carmelo Anthony will become a defensive liability. And so. And now you see the problems that Houston are having right now, right? Because now they're finding that they have to outscore people, and they don't know what they're going to do with Carmelo Anthony. You're going back to Russell Westbrook and that situation over in Oklahoma City. Listen, you're right, Leon. There's no room for error in the Western Conference, especially with Golden State still doing what they're doing. The Pelicans shocking a lot of people. I think the Pelicans were unbeaten coming into today's game, and a lot of people didn't really see that. Utah would still be pretty good. If I didn't mention Golden State, Golden State's going to be good. And San Antonio, surprisingly, not really surprisingly, but it's one of those things like Popovich has a new toy, and his name is DeMar DeRozan, and you're probably going to see the star in him come out. So, and then my coworker has been talking about the Sacramento Kings and how excited they look. You know, so you're right, Leon. There is no room for error, especially in the Western Conference. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's piqued my eye. And, I will say this. When it comes to basketball, man, you really know your stuff. Because you mentioned the Toronto Raptors, and you kept mentioning them as a contender. And man, they look more been a contender right 6-7 games into the season. But who would have ever thought, you know, I thought that there would have been a problem with Kawhi Leonard, him not wanting to play there. But man, he's playing some outstanding basketball, and he's certainly looking like the best all around player in the world right now.
And what about the Milwaukee Bucks? They are unbeaten as well with the Raptors, and they will play Toronto in a battle of unbeaten teams. The last two unbeaten teams in the NBA, they will play tomorrow night. So that's going to be a whale of a matchup, even though none of us can probably be able to see it. You have to get NBA TV in order to bring that game in. But you look at them, they're averaging, you look at some of the scores that the Bucks have posted, they're averaging just about 120 points a game. And they have their offense is definitely clicking. I'm not seeing so much of their defense has been clicking as well. But this will be a tough weekend for Milwaukee. Not only do they have Toronto, but I believe they also visit Boston a little later on in the week. And so that's going to be we'll see what they look like. Although they have victories over Philadelphia, Charlotte, Indiana, Minnesota, Orlando. Not exactly Philadelphia, maybe, but you know the Sixers are a little slow getting out of the gate. So, you know, while the Bucks have been a surprise, I'm not sure if they'll be able to keep it up over the long haul.
You know, I say this. What has been bothering basketball, what has really plagued basketball over the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years or so, is that there's been no continuity. There's been no it's the same thing, you know. And I think finally this year we kind of break away from that, maybe except with the exception of Golden State. Because I've always said it, until they break that team up, nobody is. I think they'll still be the favorites to win it all. And I'm talking about high favorites to win it all. But you look at the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee, they're starting to come up. And I'm saying the loss of LeBron James, man, is really, you start to really see the effect of an entire conference. I mean, a whole coach from the same team that he was on got fired, yeah. You know, from because he left. And now you're looking at teams like Milwaukee. Detroit at one point in time was unbeaten, was one of the unbeaten teams. The Pistons. The Pistons, they look great. Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston look like they're still trying to find their way. Philadelphia, I think those teams will find their way. The Pacers, it's going to be wide open. And you see the Hawks have pulled off a couple of games with Trae Young playing, as well as he's playing as well.
Yeah, Trae Young had an excellent home debut against Dallas. Excellent home debut for Trae Young against Dallas.
Yeah, man. Phenomenal, right?
Right. Right. And a tough loss they had against Chicago last night.
Yeah. But you know what? That's a shooter. That's what you call a shooter.
Right.
You know, you can score 40 points and go 10 of 11 from 3-point range one night. And then if you have to play the next night or two nights later, you may score, what, maybe 12, 13 points on 3 of 15 shooting. And I think Trae had 13 points on 3 of 12 shooting. So, he's just a shooter's touch, man. Just a shooter. He just had a shooter's night.
Yeah. Speaking of shooters, and we could, when we think of shooters, the face of shooters and marksman we have to give to Steph Curry. But I would like to talk about his slightly more famous teammate and Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And the possible changes that can happen to the NBA if this trigger is pulled. Kevin Durant said he's not willing to take a pay cut once free agency hits.
Okay.
He said he's not going to take a pay cut?
He's not taking a pay cut.
Well, okay. Then he's going for his ring, and then he's going out the door, apparently, because I don't see how Golden State can re-sign him for the amount of dollars that he wants.
Exactly. I actually do.
You do?
I actually do.
All right.
It's not going to be Durant. It's probably going to be out. It would. Because
you're saying
it's not only him. It's not only him. It's not only him that's a free agent next year. If I'm not mistaken, I know Klay Thompson is one. I don't see Golden State paying Klay Thompson over Kevin Durant. I'm sorry, I don't see it. Kevin Durant is probably the second best player in the world, but when you have a guy who can lock you down on the defensive end like Klay Thompson can, how can you not? But will Klay Thompson say the thrill is gone and I can probably get a max deal, 5 years, $200 million or something like that. Mind you, Draymond Green is also up for, if he is either an MVP defensive player of the year or on the all defensive team, Draymond Green is actually eligible for a Supermax deal. So do I see one of those two guys saying, they probably will. And I could be wrong about it. And Durant goes to somewhere like New York. You know, New York already has a poster board up saying they want him. So, but you know, I could be wrong about this, but I don't know. I think Golden State would probably be the first team to throw
a substantial
amount of money at the table.
I got a theory. Kevin Durant saying that he's not going to take a pay cut is saying that Kevin Durant is going to leave. If I am Golden State, I have re-signed Klay Thompson. I keep my core together because the bulk of Golden State's strength is their ability to space the floor like nobody's business. Golden State has changed the game of basketball.
Yeah.
Okay, like when we look at the 80s and the early 90s, a lot of teams are playing at 3-out, 2-in basketball. And that was good enough. But now that you have teams like Golden State, who if you could play good 3-2 basketball and shoot 70% from the floor and still lose by 20 points if you're playing a game, if you're playing against a team like Golden State that shoots threes and has the greatest shooter on their team in Steph Curry and a top five all-time great shooter in Klay Thompson. And then you have a defensive, you have a defensive powerhouse of a man in Draymond Green. That's your core. All you have to, let's see, you have, if you were, you can replace, remember, this same, these same three won 73 games of Harrison Barnes. And they, who was their center? David Lee or somebody? Or did they even have a center?
Nah, it was Bogut.
They had Andrew Bogut. They had Andrew Bogut and Harrison Barnes with those three and won 73 games. And they arguably could have beat the Cleveland Cavaliers as Draymond Green when they got suspended in game in with game six.
And remember, Bogut got hurt as well, so they were a liability. They were a liability as far as rim protection goes.
All they would have to do, because Kevin Durant isn't going to get is going to get $200 million with Golden State. It's not going to happen. But New York will pay him $200 million. Kyrie Irving, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, you know, I'm not all knowing, but you know, I do have a good idea. I don't believe that Boston Celtics with two first round picks looming and the fact that they were just a couple players getting from the finals without Kyrie Irving are gonna pay Kyrie Irving that $200 million. I don't think they're gonna do it. Not with all those players. So I think Kyrie Irving is also playing for a contract in New York. And there's rumblings that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant can both wind up with the Knicks next year and join Kristaps Porzingis and make a title run. And I believe that Kevin Durant is interested in getting immortalized like LeBron James. And if he brings a championship to the New York Knicks, that right there would make him a super legend. Because as we know, the New York Knicks have not won anything since the days of Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe and Willis Reed.
It's 1973.
A lifetime ago, man.
Yep. Generation ago.
A good portion of the world's population was not even around.
Yep.
Since the New York Knicks lost. I mean, won last, since they won. And, I mean, that right there would just, I mean, talking about Kevin Durant, he's not going to get a statue in front of, Oracle Arena. He's not going to, they're not going to, matter of fact, as an all-time great, he's going to have a, I mean, it's rumblings amongst the all-time greats that there's going to be, the all-time greats of this game that we're talking about don't even respect Kevin Durant, sir, bros, America, they don't, Walt Frazier has went on record and saying that there will be an asterisk next to his name when he retires because of the manner in which he has won. They don't respect it.
Okay.
So, and I think he cares about that. I think he cares about that.
Okay.
So, just like with LeBron James, you know, when he won his titles in Miami, it was like, yeah, he won his titles in Miami. But I think the one that means the most to LeBron James, the one that everybody will remember, the one that he's going to get a statue in front of Cleveland, you know.
Yeah, eventually.
Is the one he won in Cleveland.
Especially the one where he came back and won in Cleveland.
Man. So I think that Kevin Durant, you know, in my opinion, I mean, I'm thinking if he's an egomaniac like I think he is, and we know Kyrie Irving is.
Yep.
I think these guys want to go down in history. I think that title that Kyrie Irving won in Cleveland, you know, he's like, yeah, I got a ring and everything like that.
That's LeBron's ring. I didn't get it because of me. I got it because I was with LeBron.
You know, I think he feels that way. I think he really does. I think Kevin Love feels that way too.
Yeah.
So I'm just guessing, America. But you know, I think it's very possible that it can happen like that. And there's a lot of things going on in the NBA, you know. What do you think about that, Daniel? You know.
What? Yeah, Daniel. I mean, the Knicks are a generation ago. You had the Knicks, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Lakers as the marquee franchises of the league, and the Knicks haven't been that way. And I would put that square at the feet of James Dolan, head of the conglomerate that runs the Knicks and everybody else. Especially how they treated Charles Oakley. But
absolutely.
Do you think that blueprint that Leon just laid out, is that the way for the Knicks to get that marquee status back?
You know what? That's a hard way of thinking about it, John. I believe you might be right about it. I think that they do need a change up because he's a GM, correct?
I think
Dolan has a GM spot, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He is the Jerry Jones of basketball.
Well, the difference is Jerry Jones knows what
he's talking about a little bit. He's more of an owner who really has no idea. There are different levels of owner knowledge. Jerry Jones thinks he knows, and you could argue that he does. He definitely knows more about football than Jimmy Dolan knows about basketball. Definitely knows more.
Well, if we want to switch it over to the football conversation and the fact that Jerry Jones, I think Jerry Jones is a tremendous owner. I think he's one of the best to ever do it. But him being a GM, I'm not sold on him being a GM. He hasn't.
Well, he's too wedded to Jason Garrett.
Your GM is. Yeah, right. But Jason Garrett is 3 years ahead of being fired.
He just keeps
doing just enough. Okay, this guy should have been out about 3 years ago.
Yeah, he keeps doing just enough to keep his job, and I think now it's just pride. And that's the problem when you're the owner and the GM. You're too wedded to your decisions. You want to make them work. If you're not the owner, you have a more inclined to kind of cut bait.
You know what's funny?
No, go ahead.
You know what's funny about that, John? I'm going to cut you. But the funny part about that is that in Jerry Jones' case, there is no such thing as what have you done for me. Like,
right.
As long as you're consistently mediocre, then I can keep you around. And maybe, just maybe, we could come up with something here, right. You know? But, man, we've seen a lot of ADs, athletic directors in college. We've seen a lot of GMs. We've seen a lot of them fire a lot of coaches after this one season. And so it just all depends on on the standard and I guess the mission of each team that steps out and plays a professional sport or a collegiate sport. What is your standard? What am I going to do to keep this job? And what am I going to do to keep you here? You know, but we don't count the Mike Krzyzewskis and the Bill Belichick. You know, those guys, their jobs are theirs until they are ready to get rid of it. You know, until they retire. You know, or until they're ready to leave and go to another team or whatnot. You know, so we're not talking about those guys. The other guys who haven't been really proven yet. You know, and I just find that to be interesting.
And, you know, we're talking about Jerry Jones is a gentleman who fired Jimmy Johnson because he was doing, you know, Jimmy Johnson essentially was doing the right thing. Built the team, got the bulk of his stars from Florida, you know, won on both levels. You know, Jimmy Johnson, it could be argued if he's a bigger legend from the U or with the Dallas Cowboys. And Jimmy Johnson got rid of him.
They weren't his guys.
You know, and, you know, it's been reportedly that Jimmy Johnson, behind closed doors, will tell Jerry Jones where to go and how to get there. And if you don't like it, don't like it. You know, and it's been proven that, you know, Jimmy Johnson's style worked. Barry Switzer was a yes man. You know, and that's unfortunately, I mean, I'm not there, but that's what Jason Garrett is. He's pretty much the yes man.
Yep.
It's been proven that Dak Prescott at the beginning of the year with his views of the protest is a yes man. And it seems that Jerry Jones seems like the type of guy, man, that he would, he can actually get harmed. It's like, not to wish this on any man, but have you ever heard the phrase called death by compliments?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Death by compliments. He's not, his ego is so, he can do no wrong. You know, and he would, he actually, you know, he would actually get, you know, unfortunately from compliments, you know, so the unfortunate thing happened based on too many compliments. So, you know, he got, I think that James Dolan, if I'm James Dolan, I'm sitting back, I'm doing all kind of tampering. I'm not saying he is, but I'm just saying, I'm, man.
Right.
Because it doesn't seem right. Because it's two things that has to be that need to happen in the NBA for the NBA to function correctly. You got the two largest markets. You got the Los Angeles market and you got the New York market. If those two markets are not, you know, bubbling, it just doesn't seem right. Like, it doesn't sound right that the Lakers are a losing franchise. It doesn't make sense. And what doesn't make sense that if the New York Knicks is a losing franchise, I mean, they try to bring it back in 2013 with Carmelo Anthony, but it just didn't turn out the way it's supposed to. So,
They still try. I mean, they got the Jay-Z and the Brooklyn Nets. I think Brooklyn, they're trying to do it. They're trying to get it in kind of backdoor that way.
I think the Brooklyn Nets are about 8 years away.
Okay.
The dumpster fire that is the dumpster fire that is the Brooklyn. Oh, I forgot. They are an NBA team. I'm tripping. Oh, did I forgot. The Brooklyn Nets. Remember those guys?
Yeah.
we love you, Brooklyn. We love you, Brooklyn. But man, so I mean, it's a lot going on.
Right.
It's a lot going on right now. You know, we got to look at what's going on right now with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is this trade going to happen? Or will they offer? I mean, Houston's offering the farm. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're offering them so many draft picks that they're offering. The Houston Rockets are offering the Minnesota Timberwolves so many draft picks they can't even use them in 1 year to get Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
So, Daniel, John, if you're the Minnesota America, okay, if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, do you make that happen?
I would, because Jimmy Butler's made it clear he doesn't want to be there. And, you know, do you want him dragging down whatever is left of your morals, of your morale? I mean, if you don't want to be here that badly, and Jimmy Butler does, it doesn't matter. At some point, you just got to, like I said, you just got to cut your losses. And apparently there's no changing his mind that to come back.
I agree. I think that it's a win-win for both teams. First, for Houston, you'll be missing, you'll be gaining that defensive liability. Like I said before, they're struggling on defense. So you'll be gaining a guy, you'll be gaining a tough guy who's a great defender, but he can also score as well. And he's not a selfish player. He's one of the most unselfish players in basketball. And then for the Timberwolves, you're already kind of set. You're just going to, I mean, you've got Karl Anthony Towns, who is a proven star in this league, and he's got a bunch of talent around here that Tibbs can coach up. And can get them to play defense extremely well. So I think that you go ahead and pull this trigger, man. And just like you said, John, he doesn't want to play there no more. So why would you hold somebody that doesn't want to play for that team?
And now,
so that's how I feel about it.
And now the locker room is in our living room now. That's not good.
Exactly. And have you ever been in Minneapolis in January? It's not a fun place to be.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's not.
Now, the question is, does Jimmy Butler actually want to go to Houston? Because we heard his personal suggestion was he wanted to go to the Clippers and he wanted to go to the Knicks. That doesn't sound like someone who wants to win now. Is he really concerned about winning? If he's talking about, I want to go to the Knicks right now. Or the Clippers right now?
He's not concerned about winning now, but maybe next year.
Yes.
Because, see, if you send Jimmy Butler to the Clippers or the Knicks right now, of course not. They're not going to be a championship contending team. But he can draw free agents. Jimmy Butler understands who's all in that free agency pool, and it is quite a great list of players.
Okay.
Right. You know, he could draw some free agents. Because people want to play with him.
Right. So, let's look at one of these free agents, one of the notable free agents that he is targeting would be the great Kawhi Leonard, who is an A-plus celebrity amongst NBA talent. and you see what he's bringing to the Toronto Raptors. If the Toronto Raptors go to the finals, which is very possible, he's not going anywhere. The Raptors will open up the bag and keep him in Canada. So Jimmy Butler. So then we got another A-list celebrity, and Anthony Davis, that he will be available next year. I doubt very seriously that Anthony Davis will pass up a chance to go play with Jimmy, but will pass up a chance to play with LeBron James in L.A. and skip LeBron James and go play with Jimmy Butler. Something in my gut just tells me that he ain't about to do that. So then we have Kevin Durant, who said he's not taking a pay cut. Now, he's not going to play with the Lakers. I really, you know, as a Laker fan, I don't really want to see Kevin Durant and LeBron James teaming up. I don't like Kevin Durant. Personally, I think Kevin Durant's a great guy. I'm not saying as a person, Kevin, if you're listening, you know what I'm saying? I think you're a great guy. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you were to go off and get on our show one time, you know what I'm saying? Holler at us, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I don't like Kevin Durant, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that, you know, I'm just saying that in reference to the move that he made to Golden State, and me being a Laker fan, I just, you know, but at the same time, I want to see as a Laker fan, LeBron James, you know, go ahead and give Kevin Durant a little bit of get back, you know, and I want to see Brandon Ingram develop into our version of Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, we love you, you know what I'm saying? Love your shoes and everything like that, love your jump shot and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? But, I don't think Kevin Durant will go play with Jimmy Butler. It's not a knock to Jimmy Butler or anything like that, but Jimmy Butler is not an A-list celebrity. He's not that A-list. Are we calling Jimmy Butler an elite guard in the NBA by any stretch?
Maybe just not once you get past that first level, maybe one or two after.
When you think of Stallone in the 90s, do you think of Jimmy Butler? Did I already look at the look on your face?
Like, wait a minute, I'm trying to figure it out. Well, first of all, Jimmy Butler didn't exist in the 90s. So who are we talking about?
Stallone,
action stars?
Stallone celebrity Schwarzenegger stock in the 90s.
All right, Stallone, Schwarzenegger,
Denzel, Kurt.
Who else would be in that list? Costner.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Spacey.
Brad Pitt,
Denzel, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, right. Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise. Yeah.
You know, we're talking about elite company,
right?
Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci at the Casino,
right?
You know, people whom you want to just the Eddie Murphys, the Samuel Jacksons of today.
Okay.
You know,
I don't think he's the elite, but I think he's just like one or two off. What about you, Daniel?
Yes, I agree. I agree with that. Because basically, when we talk about elite, you might as well go ahead and say top 10, maybe top 15.
I would say top 5, really. But
I would actually have right. I would have to sit and actually write it down and look at the players in the league, because you can easily leave out players, you know. And now, you know, are we going to can we put? Can we say that Jimmy Butler is a better basketball player than Steph Curry?
Is he better than Paul George?
A better basketball player than Kevin Durant? We know he's not. No.
Is he better than Paul George?
LeBron James, you know. Huh?
Is he better than Paul George?
Is he better than Paul George?
Yes.
I think he is.
I think he is. Yeah. Yeah. If you would have asked me that before Paul George's leg injury, I would have said no. Right. Because Paul George was a better defender than he is now before the injury that he had. Paul George was an excellent defender in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And then, he hurt himself during the Team USA training camp. And it really derailed him, and it was a nasty injury. But before then, I would have said, yeah, because you can look at Paul George and you can look that he's lost a step a little bit. So, still a great player, though.
Yeah.
Right. So, I believe with Jimmy Butler, with him saying that he wants to go to New York or the Clippers, He wants that $200 million. He wants that Supermax package.
Well, yeah, money. Yeah.
It's a right. business. It's
just like everybody in the NBA, they're going to look for the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't care about where they go to. You know, they, as long as we got the money, I can possibly attract some guys to come over. And nowadays, I think some of the players are trying to get out of this whole quote unquote super team thing. You know, so they're trying to get out of that and say, hey, well, you know, I think I can lead this team to X, Y, and Z to this point, to a championship. I think I'm good enough to lead a team.
Cyclical, like everything. You know, you're gonna have the super teams, and then you're gonna have what you're describing, and then that'll go for a couple years, and we'll go back to the super teams, just like everything else that goes along.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
And speaking of, you know, I know we were talking about this a little earlier, but coaches that have been fired, with Tyronn Lue, you know, being fired, it's interesting though because Cleveland has turned into 1925 Germany. Because yeah, I mean, I'm talking about from both ends of the spectrum,
okay,
from basketball and football. I thought that Hugh Jackson was going to get fired before Tyronn Lue. Because he's on a hot seat as well, too.
Right.
America.
Well, for the last year and a half. Just reading a stat that Hugh Jackson's career winning percentage is .205. And that is the only coach who's got a worse winning percentage is Burt Bell. And that's only because he owned the team.
Mm.
That's big facts. That's way back. So I was just, like I said, just reading that stat. So, they lost to the Steelers today. They're 2-5-1. And Hugh Jackson should be fired. A long time ago, but it's just a matter of who else you're going to get. Dennis Leary. But you see, that's also part of the issue. And I guess Cleveland's just in it for the long haul. Though I don't want to go back to the owners, but, you know, Jimmy Haslin, I'm not sure if he's entirely sure what he's doing.
I don't think so either because go ahead, Dan. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry, Leon.
No.
But, today, something came out with Hugh Jackson anyway, that there were reports that his offensive coordinator, who was Todd Haley, that he was trying to take away the play caller duties from him. But Hugh came back and corrected and said, I wanted to help him out a little bit with play calling duty. So, listen, now there's turmoil in the Cleveland locker room, right?
Right.
You thought that you had things going here. Listen, I don't think anybody in their right mind thought that Cleveland was going to win 9-10 games, okay? We thought that they could be a better football team this year. They are a better football team.
They've won a game.
Yeah.
So they are better. They are going in the right direction. The question is it going to be enough? If Jimmy Haslin has a number, what is the number that will allow him to sit back and say, okay, we're doing the right thing. This is going where we want to go. We know it's not going to be, we're not going to be a Super Bowl team overnight. We know that. But, you know, just how much of an improvement does there need to be for Jimmy Haslin to say, okay, we're doing this thing right?
And that's such a hard thing to say, John, because when I look at that roster, when you look at that roster, they shouldn't really have a problem, at least with trying to contend for a playoff spot. That roster right now, if you look at them on paper, and you include Baker Mayfield, and you made that change because Baker Mayfield is going to be a star in this league, man.
Yes.
That should be an 8-9 win team. When you look at that roster, and especially that defense, it's a pretty good defense they got over there. They got some stars.
Well, you got.
So I don't know if they're missing. Uh-huh.
Well, you got to know how to win. They don't. It's a mindset.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. Once they start winning games, it'll become a little bit easier for them to perform in those clutch situations. It's like they just don't know how to win because they haven't done it in so long.
They haven't done it in so long. Yeah. So the culture is used to losing.
Yes.
And they have to get out of that mindset.
Right.
Right. I mean, have you ever
the culture has to change in Cleveland.
Right.
Have you ever seen a franchise engage in this self-sabotage like we've seen the Cleveland Browns engage in this year?
Well, if you want to talk self-sabotage, how about the Raiders?
Oh my goodness! But at least that there's some type. There's a silver lining with the Lakers. With the Raiders, because John Gruden, despite him fumbling, for lack of a better term, and turning over Khalil Mack, and now getting rid of their number one deep threat to Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys.
It's a race to the bottom. They want the number one. They want the number one selection, and they've already got about what, 3 first rounders next year.
There is some type of There is some type of silver lining. Like we see that he is playing chess.
There is a plan.
Yes, he is playing chess with it. There is a he is sacrificing this year for a better outcome.
And probably 2020 when he moves into that glistening palace being built just off the Las Vegas Strip.
Exactly. So there is some type of rhyme and reason to what John Gruden is doing. It's just people are just wondering, like, dude, I wouldn't have gave him no Khalil Mack and to do it, but he got like 18 first-round draft picks in the process.
Yes.
So it does make sense for what John Gruden is doing. It makes no sense for what Cleveland has been doing. I mean, I was actually a loud proponent of Cleveland towards the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. They acquired Tyrod Taylor, who is a Pro Bowl quarterback, who has a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, who completes 60% of his passes. They had they had Josh Gordon fresh out the DARE program. They had Landry Fields.
Yep,
the number one deep threat out of Miami, and on top of that, they had Saquon Barkley over the horizon with a defense. I thought Cleveland was on to something. I promise you I did. I thought they were on to something. But what did they do? Instead of going with a quarterback that does not turn the ball over with 2 deep threat weapons and Saquon Barkley over the horizon, they draft Baker Mayfield. Why would you? Okay, so now you have a Pro Bowl quarterback with an unproven rookie whom you don't know how he's going to perform.
Right.
So now you created now for the same reason that the New York Jets traded away Terry Bridgewater to clear Sam Darnold's mind to somewhere where he's not going to play in the New Orleans Saints. The same reason why the Terry Bridgewater was traded is the same reason it seems that they went off and drafted Baker Mayfield. So they go off and they draft. They go off and instead of getting Saquon Barkley, who was flourishing right now in the New York with the New York Giants, flourishing. It's argued that he could be the next big thing when it comes to running backs. To you know, not saying that Nick Chubb is no chump. You know, shout out to Nick Chubb from Georgia, but man,
yeah.
And then let's not even take. They go off and they get robbed and don't even call the police. They give away Josh Gordon. Not for failing the drug test for the 13th time, but for some type of insignificant advertisement debacle.
That's the word.
That word made no sense for the same reason that the move that Cleveland made no sense.
Exactly. So something's going on. Something, Leon, is going on in Cleveland. We just don't know what.
When the Patriots are looking vulnerable, okay. I mean, I'm a Charger fan. If America, if you don't know,
yeah.
Okay, I'm waiting for the Patriots to suck.
You're gonna wait a long time, I'm afraid.
You know,
mediocre once Brady leaves.
Oh my goodness, you may want to lock the door and leave you up in here, John.
Exactly.
Oh man, right when we think the Patriots are going to suck, okay, the Patriots are on their downslope. That there is it's the decline. Man, the Browns give them Josh Gordon for free.
Yeah.
Excuse my language. Damn.
Well, as we said before, the Patriots' biggest thing for the Patriots is they're in just a terrible division. Even mediocre, they're going to win that division. That's just a fact. Daniel, I'll give you the final point.
Daniel, 1 second, please. I respect your opinion as a guru, sir. I'm not going to lie to you, bro. Why did they why did the Browns give Josh Gordon to the Patriots for free? Why did they have to do that?
Well, here's the thing. I want to actually kind of rebuke some of your points you made, Leon. First, we can talk about Josh Gordon. Cleveland, I think just the same reasons why we talked about this earlier, why you want to get rid of a guy, you know, for either not being there and for being, it's just too much controversy that circles around you. And you had to get rid of Josh Gordon. Okay, his name was coming up too many times in the news for doing too much stuff.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So you had to kind of get rid of that liability. You know where you are as a team, and I guess you want to take that shot and give other guys who appreciate being football players a chance. Now we see that Josh Gordon actually appreciates being a football player. Why? Because he goes to the New England Patriots. That was probably the best thing for him,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily the Cleveland Browns.
Right. Well,
next. The thing about the Oakland Raiders, y'all talked about the Oakland Raiders, y'all talked about the Cleveland Browns, but mention the New York Giants as well. Understand this, that is the only player in Saquon Barkley that they have.
Yeah.
That is the only player that is playing up to his circumstances. Do you know that they have the highest paid tackle in the game, Nate Solder? And he has been getting beat off the edge in just about every single game. Every single game. And Eli Manning, who to me, I've always thought Eli Manning was an overrated quarterback who won two Super Bowls because David Tyree got lucky. And he just so happened to put the ball on the money for Mario Manningham. Okay? That's me personally.
Right.
All right? So now it's time. It's time for him to go. I saw this against Atlanta, and Atlanta played a foot. They had a foot part game. I mean, Matt Ryan was on fire Monday night.
Exactly,
he was simply spectacular Monday night. I don't think anybody would have. I don't think any defense would have slowed down the kind of things that Matt Ryan was doing. Right.
Right. Right.
But when you look at the Giants, I remember the first thing that came out of my mouth. I said, "Wow, the Giants are terrible."
Yep.
It was just some of the things in the play calling that they were doing. They are terrible from top to bottom, even their head coach. Pat Shurmur was making some questionable calls, man. And that's what I look at. When I look at a team that is bad, I think it's the New York Football Giants. I mean, they are awful.
Yes, they are.
I think they may be the worst team in the NFL to me.
Yep. We'll have Daniel, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. Normally we would do our last minute wrap up, but I think we're going to forego that, and we'll do it again next week when we're all together and we're all talking whatever is going on in the world of sports. This is the last three guys to do a podcast. My voice is just about done, so it sounds like a good time to take a break. For
Leon Brown
and Daniel
Bolton.
I'm John Morgo. Thank you very much for joining us. Tell a friend, tell a frenemy, tell an enemy. We don't care. Just send us your comments and your likes. We appreciate all of it. We'll see you next week. This has been The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast.